We want to welcome you here today. We're in the month of June. Can you believe that, man? The year is almost half over, and God is still doing great and mighty things. And we have decided to make the month of June something we have titled Stretch Month. And it's going to be a month where we're going to give you a lot of opportunity to invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever it is that lives around you to church. And again, part of that is you participating and getting some of those invite cards when you leave today and take them around with you throughout the week and invite others to church with you. We're believing God for an increase in our numbers over the month of June. Typically, the month of June in church life is a month that is kind of down in attendance, but we're going to believe God to increase our attendance here at Valorous Church. And again, yeah, come on. And one of the ways to do that is for you to get those invite cards. And we're creating space and place for people to come here at Valorous Church where they can experience God in a powerful way. And their life can hopefully have hope deposited in it, and they can walk out of here changed each and every weekend. And so we'll create those weekend experiences for people, but also next weekend is Father's Day, and we're going to be doing a bike and a car show here next weekend for dads. And a reason we do those kind of events and create those extracurricular things on the outside is hopefully to encourage you to bring someone with you. And maybe they like cars, maybe they like motorcycles. They can come check all that out next weekend on Father's Day. But our hope is that they would come into the room and they would hear a life-changing message about Jesus and their life would be impacted forever. So we're going to create that atmosphere next weekend on Father's Day weekend. And then following right after that is an opportunity for you to engage families in your neighborhood. We're going to be doing extreme nights here at Valorous Church. And yeah, come on, it's all week long. It's where we do a lot of kids ministry, but it's so much more than just kids coming to have fun with all the games and prizes. They're going to be able to have Jesus deposited in their life, but it's also an opportunity for us to impact the entire family, the mom and the dad and the grandparents. And we'll have a big event on the backside of Extreme Nights. We're going to invite everybody out. So again, the reason we set up these atmospheres and the reason we set up these particular kinds of things is for you to be able to invite those who may not have hope in their life. Maybe they need the healing love of Jesus in their heart, and it's a way for you to invite them to come with you and them to experience that as they get a word from God delivered to them. And so again, the month of June is a stretch a month. Everybody say stretch. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to stretch. Awesome. Glad y'all got that. You know, the Bible tells us that God delivers us from the kingdom of darkness, and he brings us and transfers us into the kingdom of light. In other words, he removes us from a sinful lifestyle, puts us in a relationship with himself through Christ Jesus. And so God is in the business of delivering people. He delivers people. And then what he does is he develops us. He develops us in who he designs us to be. And each and every week you can hear God's word spoken into your life, how God wants to use you and impact the world with you. So God delivers us. He develops us. And then what he does is he deploys us into the world. And when he deploys us into the world, what his desire is for us to live life out loud in front of people wherever we go, and for them to discover who he is as our heavenly Father. So you may want to write that down today, because that's really the mission of what we're about here at Valorous Church. We want a people to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of life by the power of what Jesus did on that cross through the forgiveness, for the forgiveness of their sin, and also to put them in a place where they can make a difference in the world. So God wants to deliver people. He wants to develop people. Then he wants to deploy people so other people can discover who he is. And that way we can begin to change the world with the message of Christ. And today I want to kind of talk to you about that because I'm encouraging you to get some of those invite cards. But if you're really going to grab those invite cards and begin to make a difference in what God's doing, you know, I think there's some things we can embrace out of this passage that we're going to look at today, found in Isaiah 54, to really help us do that. I started thinking about if everybody got invited five people to church that attend here, and one of those five showed up next weekend. Did you know that we would have to move to overflow? Come on. Yeah. And so think about that for just a moment. You get five invite cards. You have five encounters with five different people this week. And each one of us invite those five. But only one of those five shows up. We would have to begin to make more space for what God wants to do. So you and I play a vital part in what God wants to do in the world. And what I'm doing as the pastor of this church is I'm inviting you in to what God wants to do through you. And this passage in Isaiah 54 sets us up for that today. Isaiah 54 comes on the heels of Isaiah 53. And it's where the prophet Isaiah is speaking to the people about their future. Isaiah 53 is about a suffering servant who would come. And that Isaiah 53 is a prophecy about the future. A suffering servant will come, and we know him today as Jesus, the one who came to give his life on a cross for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. And then in Isaiah 54, the writer here, as he's speaking to the people of Israel, he talks to them about this servant who would come, but then about what their future would look like. And the rest of the book of Isaiah is about their future. And what I want you to know today is on the other side of the cross, the suffering servant of Christ, the one who is resurrected from the grave, God has a future for Israel, but he also has a future for you and me. And we can discover a lot about what that future is about by picking up in this passage in Isaiah 54 and begin to walk in it. So this is what it says in Isaiah 54, beginning with verse 2, and we're going to go through verse 5. He says, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings." In other words, enlarge your space. He says, "Do not spare." He says, "Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you," he's speaking to the people who have been in captivity, he says, "you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations." He says, "and make the desolate cities inhabited. Make dead places inhabited with life." He says, "do not fear, for you will not be ashamed." He says, "neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame." He says, "you will forget the shame of your youth," speaking to those people. He says, "and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." God had for a moment brought wrath on them. They had been into captivity. Now God is going to bring salvation to them, and when that salvation comes, they can put their past behind them. He says, "for your maker," he says to them, "is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." Now, this is prophetic language spoken by a man named Isaiah back in the day when these people had been taken into captivity. And he speaks in this prophetic language to them about a suffering servant who would come as a savior, Isaiah 53. And now that the savior has come, he begins to speak to them about their future and how he was going to use them to expand what he's doing in the earth and around the world. And let this spill over into the local church. It's amazing because if you let scripture interpret scripture, and you go to Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament speaks this passage in Isaiah 54 to the church. And he basically says in Isaiah 54, you were once one thing, but God has come into your life, and now God wants to use you to do great and mighty things. And today, I want you to understand that what God desires to do in every single person's life is to heal us spiritually so that we can grow his family, so we can stretch out. God wants to heal your broken heart. And he does it so that you can stretch out and grow his family, multiply. And he does it so that his glory, the weightiness of who he is, shines in all of the earth. Don't miss this. God created human beings in the Garden of Eden, both male and female. The Bible says that we are to be image bearers. God created us in his likeness to bear his image. That was broken in the garden. The first man, the first woman stepped away from God's plan. And the Bible says sin entered the earth, took people off the right path of what God created them to be. Now God says, I'm going to send a savior to save you, heal your heart so that you can come back in right relationship with me and you can get on with what I put you in the earth to do, which is to be fruitful and multiply and display my glory to every nation in the world. Display who I am to all of those around you. And again, don't miss this. God heals you. And the Bible says that Jesus died on that cross to forgive humanity of missing the mark of God's glorious standard. Forgive humanity of sin. And we put our faith in that forgiveness. Now we're brought in right relationship with God. What does God begin to do? Heal us of that broken relationship. Heal our hearts so that. Don't miss those two words. Everybody say, so that. So that I can get on with what I'm designed to be and do in the world and expand and bring up there, down here, and expand his glory into all the earth. And the Bible here speaks to the nation of Israel about being an expansion and really beginning to expand who God is in the earth. The whole reason we're caught out of darkness and brought into the wonderful light and left on the planet is to shine the light of God's glory in the earth around us. It's why we're here. It's why God brought you here today to inspire you so you could have impact. Inspire you so you could have influence. Did you know that God has created us to be together as a called out people so we can influence the world around us and impact the world with the goodness of who God is? Come on. And God calls you to influence. But some of us don't have the influence God has called us to because we haven't really embraced who God says that we are. So this passage helps us do that. And the first thing we got to do if we're really going to influence the world around us is enlarge our expectation. Enlarge our expectation. Notice in the passage, the writer here, he tells the people in Isaiah 54 verse 2, he says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Everybody say, do not spare. In other words, he says, be all in. He says, do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. As God is speaking to these people, he's like, I know where you've been. I know where you are. You're in a broken space, in a broken place. He says, but prepare. He says, prepare for what I'm going to do. You need to enlarge your vision. And God says, prepare this space for what I want to do through you. Enlarge your vision. And some of us have small thinking about what God wants to do with us. And we need to enlarge our vision today. In other words, we just think, well, I'm just, you know, a person that God brought from some particular sin and brought me into his family for me to just sit here and wait to go to heaven one day. Oh my goodness. You're missing God's vision. God has an impact he wants to do and work through you to make a difference in this world. And I wrote this down in my journal. How we prepare speaks to what we believe God has planned. How we prepare speaks to what we believe God has planned. Notice God says, look, to those people, stretch out your house. Stretch out your tent. Make more room is better vernacular to be able to use. He says, make more room for what I'm getting ready to do. You know what that requires? That requires faith. And what God says is, if you really believe I'm a big God that wants to change the world through you, he says, you know what? Begin to live like it by faith. Prepare for what I want to do. Whenever we came over here from the other side, we were believing God in faith. This building wasn't here yet, but we were believing that God was going to bring new people in here and change their life. So what did we do? We stretched out. Come on. We stretched out our tent. We stretched our resources. We stretched our energy. We stretched our finances. We stretched our gifts. And here we are today because we believe God wanted to do more in us and do more through us. Come on. It requires faith. It requires faith. Just like Noah when he built a boat and there was no rain. God said, build an ark to put the animals on. I'm getting ready to flood the earth. There was no flood. There was no ark. There was no rain. But what did Noah do? He acted by faith. And the Bible says he's commended for his faith in what God said. And he built the ark when everybody else is saying, you are crazy, Noah. He believed God. He trusted God. Father Abraham, God says, Abraham, leave the familiar. Leave a particular place and go to a land I will show you. And God went on to say, I'm going to show you a land and I'm going to bless you. Listen to this, so that you can bless the nations of the world. So what was God going to do? He was going to flood Abram's life with blessing so that Abram could just soak up that blessing. That's not what the scripture says. The Bible says he's going to flood Abram's life with blessing. And that means tangible and intangible things so that, everybody say so that, he could work the blessing in him and he could work the blessing through him. And today we sit in this place and space because Abram had the faith to believe God and God was going to do what he says he's going to do. And his descendant, Jesus, came from that step of faith. And you and I today sit in this very place believing God because of a Jesus that came to earth to expand what God is going to do in the earth. Come on, in a people and through a people. By faith. And you and I, we have to expand and enlarge our expectation of what God wants to do. Do you really believe that God wants to reach your wayward neighbor? Do you really believe that God wants to speak into the life of your boss? Do you really believe that God wants to change that person's life that wronged you? Do you really believe that God can speak into somebody's life that it's gone off the rails? And if you do, God says, then prepare a space and a place for them because I'm getting ready to do something through you. It's a new thing, the nation of Israel, and it's a new thing, church, and I'm getting ready to fill the place if you will prepare it by faith and trust what I want to do. Come on, enlarge your thinking. For ages, the local church has been stuck on us four and no more. And what I mean by that is they think of it as just being a gathering of people where I hang out with my buddies. They love me and I love them. And that's awesome. But God has always called the blessing of the Lord on your life to expand and begin to reach it out to the next person around you so that they can become a part of the family. Remember, God delivers us. God develops us. God deploys us so others can begin to understand his great and mighty love and come to him also. It seems, you know, so easy, but it's so difficult for us to get the focus off of ourselves and put it on what's still yet to come. This is a prophecy about the future. The future of what God's going to do through his people. And my friends, I want you to know today that if we'll embrace and begin to enlarge our expectation, stretch our vision, let's call it, we'll begin to see God do things we never thought he could do. But we have to believe God. We have to exercise our faith. And again, how we can really tell if we're exercising our faith and God's going to change the world through us is by our people continually showing up. Because my Bible says, for God so loved the world. That means the person I don't like. My Bible says, for God so loved the world. That means the person that did me wrong. My Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. And I understand that because God loved me when I was in my deepest, darkest place in my life. He spoke into my heart. And guess what he did? When I, so to say, was unlovable, God spoke and delivered me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it's forever changed my life. And he didn't do it based on my goodness. He did it based on his love. And that began to free me so that I can begin to be developed by him in the power of his spirit that lives in me. So I can get on with the mission that he has for planet Earth, which is to continue to be deployed and reach out to those who don't know him so that they can come to know who my heavenly Father is. My friend, this is why we're making an invite. We're just bringing a focus to our church. Because it is easy to get going and get stagnant. And obviously, God don't want us to become stagnant. Because when we become stagnant, we become dead. And God wants an alive church. A church that's breathing new life into people, birthing new spiritual babies. He wants a family that will multiply and grow and expand and do great and mighty things. And God speaks out of Isaiah and he says, enlarge your expectation. But he also wrote this in Isaiah 54 verse 3, he says this, for you shall expand to the right and to the left and your descendants will inherit the nations. And make the desolate cities inhabited. Dead places. Dead spaces that were desolate. And again, he says, you know what? If you'll embrace your part, then you can expect me to do my part. God will always do what he says he's going to do. And you can expect him to deliver on the promise. Even if we've been disobedient, God could bring us into a place where he can rebirth our thinking so we can get our thinking straight. And then we can expect him to show up and begin to develop us to do what we're designed to do and be as a church in this world. Again, this is a word of prophecy here in Isaiah 54:3 that says the overflow of what God is doing in your life will transform the uninhabited places around the world. And God's blessing in our lives work through us, work in us so that they can work through us. Remember, Father Abraham, Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, he says, I will make you, Abram, into a great nation. If by faith you'll go, I'll show. He says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be what? A blessing. The overflow of the blessing in your life will flow out of your life. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So we can expect God, as he blesses our life, that the overflow from that blessing will begin to flow out of us and begin to multiply and transform the world around us. God wants to bless everybody in this room. He wants to heal your heart. And the whole reason he wants to heal your heart is so that that blessing of what he does in your life can flow through your life. But again, Jesus forgives you of your sin, but understand he brings you before God. And what Jesus does is allow you to enter into the presence of the living God. And then the presence of the living God through the power of the Holy Spirit begins to speak into your life about healing and about transformation and about becoming who God's designed you to be. And as you begin to read alongside of God's word, then the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate God's word. And when you begin to embrace God's word, your broken heart begins to find healing. In other words, you're not who they told you you used to be. You're becoming who God is telling you to be. And we have to understand that God will do this. If we'll begin to understand who he is, we expect God to do his part. And if we do our part and stretch out our arms, God will do his part and he will help others around us respond. Our part is it to change people. Our part is simply to create an environment and let the light of Christ that lives in us glow off of us. Come on. And that light begins to change them, begins to draw them to God. And then when they repent of their sin, and you know what? Jesus forgives them of their sin. The Holy Spirit moves into their life. And then the Holy Spirit begins to speak into their life and transform them. My friend, I think some of us don't understand the power of the Spirit that lives in us. You would need to understand it's the very living presence of the living God. And he changes you. He transforms you. He calls you into obedience. And he says, if you will choose to submit to my authority, I'll bless you. And that blessing's gonna flow in you, and that blessing's gonna flow through you, and it's gonna do great and mighty things in this earth. I sit underneath the blessings of the Almighty. And my friends, I need you to understand that is who you are too. And God saves you for a calling. God saves you for a purpose. God doesn't save you so you can sit. God saves you to participate. He saves you to step in and begin to shine the light of his glory in all circumstances, all situations, because he has healed your broken hearts. But see, you gotta trust that God's gonna do his part. And the thing is he will do his part if you'll put your faith in who he is. I'm here to tell you that God wants to grow the church numerically. He wants a big church. Let me tell you how I know. Because in the Bible, when the church started, he told those first few followers, he says, go into all the world and make students, make disciples. Go change the world, influence the world. He says, first go right here in Jerusalem. And by the way, I want it to bust beyond Jerusalem. Go into the whole country, Judea is what he says. And why don't you just skip it over to the next country and go into Samaria? Oh, and by the way, just take it to the ends of the earth. And he says, you know what? You're going to receive power from on high, the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 1? It is so that we can be witnesses to God's goodness in our own life. It's so that we can begin to expand his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. It's so that we can begin to shine the light of Christ, the glory of God in the earth around us. The glory flows in us so he can flow through us. And again, if we take to heart what God says and we continue to expect God to do his part, the church will explode. Our part is to invite. Our part is to create environments for people to come to know who God is. Our part is to continue to share the love and the word of Christ and begin to speak it into their life. And God's part is to draw them to himself through Christ Jesus, the Savior that we lift up. But my friends, if we're really going to get on board with God's great plan here in this earth, the last thing we have to do, according to this passage, is embrace our true identity. Embrace our true identity. Do you know who God says you are? Because, see, that's the challenge. Some of us are walking in who we used to be, instead of the future of who God speaks to us to be. For me, when I was in like the fifth grade, I had a teacher that literally wrote on my report card, "Clay will never amount to nothing." That's me. I know, poor old me. That's how I felt about 32 years of my life. I was a victim. Well, that teacher told me I was going to do this. I wasn't ever going to amount to nothing, so I was striving to amount to something to prove her wrong. Hallelujah. But I was wrong. I was wrong. Because I basically ended up to be exactly who she wrote on my report card. All he does is talk in class and play in class, and he don't pay attention. So he'll never amount to anything. And I could choose to be who she said I was. I could try to prove that I'm not who she says I am, who I was. But at the end of the day, it wasn't until the age of 32 that I embraced who God said I was, that all that began to change. And see, some of us are stuck. We're embracing what the fifth grade teacher said, what that person said when they walked out on us. We're embracing what some parent, grandparent, what some way off person said about us. And we're saying, oh, I'm just a victim. See, as long as you stay in the victim mentality and you don't embrace who God says you are, you're never going to influence the world around you. But when you embrace who God says you are and you stop living out of a victim mentality and start living as a victor, then the world around you will be impacted by the good news of the one who changed you, who blessed you, that's flowing in you and flowing out of you. Let me show it to you in the text. Look what it says in Isaiah 54. He speaks to these people who have been in bondage. They had been walking in shame. They had been walking in guilt. They had been, you know what, walking in basically God's wrath coming on them for a moment, but not a lifetime. And he says this to the people. He says, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed anymore. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." Remember, God let them go into captivity. They felt like God had abandoned them. He says, "For your maker is your husband." I'm a covenant God. I'm in a covenant relationship with you. He's speaking to them. I'll do what I said I'm going to do. He says, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. The imagery shifts here in this passage, and it reminds us that God is not just some far off distant ruler, but he is like a relational, a loving spouse, and he cares for us, and we are not who we used to be. We shouldn't walk in shame. We shouldn't walk in guilt. We shouldn't walk in who they said we were to be. We should walk in our new identity found in Christ Jesus. Come on. My friend, this changes everything. When you embrace who Jesus says you are and what the calling is on your life and what your purpose is in this earth, it changes everything. And I just wrote down five things today I want to give you before we close, because there's some of us stuck. And you know what? God don't want you to live stuck. God wants you to know your new name. He gave me a new name at 32 years old. I once thought who they said I was. Now I know who he says I am. And that all began to change as the Holy Spirit began to dwell in me and push out the old man and put in the new man. And so my identity has shifted. And I understand I'm here strictly for impact. I'm here for influence. For bringing up there the kingdom, up there, down here. And I walk in it the best I can. Do I stumble? Do I fall? Yes, but I get back up because I know who I am. Come on. You need to walk in it. You need to walk in it. Let me give you five things. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Says, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. In other words, my history no longer holds my identity. Let that sink in. My history no longer holds my identity. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's who he says you are. Number two. I am more than a conqueror. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. You see, sometimes it feels like the world's conquering you, but God called you to be more than a conqueror. In other words, you got to begin to understand you are not a victim, but you are a victor. And just, you're not just here to survive, but you're here to overcome. You need to move out of survival mode and trust the Spirit of the living God. He created you as an overcomer. And let the Spirit of the living God begin to speak that and whisper that in your ear. Because, see, some of you say, I'm just surviving. I'm just getting through. No, no, no. Don't just get through. Become an overcomer. Because Jesus says it. The next thing I wrote down is I'm fully accepted. I know I'm rejected sometimes by people, but I am fully accepted by God. Because of who Christ Jesus is. Because of his righteousness, I've been made righteous. Come on, somebody. And I'm fully accepted because of what he did on a cross, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Praise God, I don't have to fight for a seat at the table because I already have one. Some of you are fighting for a seat at God's table, but understand Christ Jesus is the one that gives you one. You're bickering and fussing with those around you. And Christ Jesus says, you're fully accepted by me. Stop worrying about all that and take a seat at my table. I'm a child of the Most High God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? See, the Bible says there's powers and principalities. There's other gods in the universe. But I'm not a child of any of those gods. I'm a child of the Most High God. The God who created you, the God who created me, the God who created everything, I'm his child. Come on. The Bible says it, you know, in John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, I'm adopted into God's family. I'm a son with full rights of the kingdom. I don't just follow God, I belong to him. He is my shield and he is my protection. Some in here, you're following God out of bondage, out of slavery, because you have to. No, no, I follow God because I get to, and I belong to Him, and I'm His child, I'm His son, you're His daughter. Come on, embrace that today. My Father has good plans for me, is what the Bible says. Do you really believe that today? Are you walking in that today? The next thing I wrote down is this, as I'm the temple. In other words, I house God's Spirit. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. In other words, my life isn't empty. My life is sacred. I house the living God in me. I realize I'm set apart for a purpose. I'm not empty inside. I got a purpose inside. And I'm sacred because He lives in me. He lives. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. So where I go, He goes. And let that transform you, because it'll begin to change the way you do life. Am I going to take God into this situation? He lives in me. Am I going to defile the temple? He lives in me. And because He lives in me, He empowers me to do what is necessary in life. I don't have an empty life. I have a sacred life. And so when you get ready to talk to your neighbor, if the power of the living God is in you, you don't have to be afraid. All you have to do is be available. And I promise you, the one who lives in you will give you what to say, how to say it, when to say it, to invite them to meet Him. Come on, somebody. Woo! You got to believe. You got to believe you're set apart for a purpose. You got to believe in the local church and what God's doing in us and through us. And my friend, He sends an invitation. He invites every person to be a part of what He's doing in the earth. There's nothing more exciting than what God does when He works in you and He works through you and He speaks into somebody's life and they begin to breathe life. It's amazing to transform you in the process. See, I think God intentionally designed it where we got to be a part so that we can be transformed in the process. God blesses you. He flows in you, however you want to phrase it, so that, everybody say so that, He can flow through you. Embrace who He says you are, enlarge your vision, and expect God to show up. Can I pray for you today? Come on. Can you bow your heads? In just a moment, our worship team's going to sing one last song. Maybe you need to come to this altar today. We open it up at the end of our services through this last song. Church service isn't over. God's getting ready to do some amazing things in people's heart during this last song. And I invite you today just to stick around and see what God wants to do. Maybe you need to respond to one of these prayer partners at the crosses today and just surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus. Let Him become your Savior. Let the Holy Spirit come live in you so you can become a part of what God's doing in the world. Maybe you just need to be awakened and expand your vision today and realize that God wants to use you in a powerful way to do great and mighty things. Maybe you just need to come pray about the five people that you're going to give invite cards to this week. The altar is going to be open. There's going to be, you know what, there's kneeling benches down here. There'll be prayer partners, however you want to do it during this song. I just pray that you would just begin to submit to God and do what He's asking you to do in this moment. It's a powerful time. We as a church, over the course of the last several weekends, have been running in our two weekend services about 1,300 people. We're believing God to stretch us this month, the month of June, and take us from a regular attendance of 1,300 people to 1,500 people. I believe God wants to do it. But we have to believe it and begin to put our faith in action. And we have to each begin to participate. And God will exceed our expectation if we'll believe Him and trust Him as a body. We are the body of Christ. And God is inviting us to be an invitation for Him in this world. We're a church where we want people to meet Jesus. Because in reality, He is the only one that can forgive them of their sin and begin to heal their broken heart. And my friend, we create a message every single weekend for people to be able to respond to this Jesus. I invite you to be in doing what God wants to do in you and through you. He wants to bless you so that you'll be a blessing.